People can be in despair. People can have some very unpleasant things happen to them. But when are people beyond forgiveness? We like to try to figure this one out. Especially considering some things that have happened. You know, people asked me, is suicide the unpardonable sin? Can suicide be pardoned? Okay? We don't like to talk about that, but you know, I was deciding what to talk about this week, and I thought we should talk about forgiveness and sin, and how does all this work? How does all this work? There we go, it's getting a little brighter. Getting a little brighter. So what's the unpardonable sin? Now think about it. There's pardonable sin and unpardonable sin. Okay, so the unpardonable sin is unpardonable by definition. Okay? So we have to ask that question. What is the unpardonable sin? I have people that come to me and say, Pastor, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I know immediately that they haven't. Do you know why? They're worried about it. And when somebody's worried about their sin, what does that immediately mean? That the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. You see, the danger is not being worried about your sin. The danger is not being worried about your sin. Okay? Is murder the unpardonable sin? And we could put Paul up here too. He killed a few more than Moses did. How about lying? Was Jacob considered a good guy or a bad guy? Now you remember what his name meant, don't you? If your name is deception, can you still be forgiven? Okay. How about denying Christ? I won't have you raise your hands, but how many here have ever denied Jesus? Now, what does it mean? How do you deny Jesus? By when everybody else is saying God is really dumb and what's the point and there's no God, you don't say anything or you agree. Okay? But Peter, in the end there, he had a change after the day of Pentecost. Okay? This kind of makes me feel good because has anybody ever made a mistake? Is denying God's existence and persecuting his people the unpardonable sin? You know, we ask these questions because you have to. How do you know what the unpardonable sin is? We're going to look. Can everybody see this okay? I'm not standing in the way. Okay. Think carefully when we read this. What does it say? I'm going to stop so we can get this down. This is Matthew chapter 12, 31 and 32. Every sin and blasphemy will be what? So what does that mean? Any sin and blasphemy can be what? Is that what it says? Okay. Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What is blasphemy in the first place? Is it saying something real nasty? Using four-letter words? Is that blasphemy? What is blasphemy? Now, if you look in the Bible, we're not going to do this whole study right now, but I think it's John chapter 10. Jesus was accused of blasphemy by the Jews. And he says, well, what's the problem? And they said, because you, being a man, make yourself God. That's blasphemy. So blasphemy in this text is not saying something nasty, but it's saying, I am God. And so this makes perfect sense because blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is saying to the Holy Spirit, you're not God, I am. You're not in charge, I'm in charge. Okay? So this is important to understand. If you keep reading, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. So you can even say some really nasty, unpleasant words against Jesus and still be forgiven. Is that what it's saying? Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So the question is, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? I think that's what we really need to know. Because I don't want to do it without realizing I'm doing it. How do you speak against the Holy Spirit? How do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Okay? This is really what we're looking at. So that's the question. We're going to take a look at some texts. We're going to be having a lot of Bible texts today because that's what we base our faith on, right? The Scriptures. That's God's Word. John 16:8. When he, who is this referring to? The Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he does three things. One, he tells you where you're off base. He convicts you of sin. The Holy Spirit speaks and you say, oh man, I know I did the wrong thing. Okay? And then he also convicts the world of righteousness. So you could say, I helped my neighbor today. And you go home and you say, I did the right thing. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you and telling you that. And then he also convicts you that there's going to be a judgment one day. And we need to really think about this and not just be indifferent. Okay? So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when you have, how do you do this? We'll take a look at this. Do you have sorrow for sin? Or do you say, yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm actually pretty good. I pay my taxes. I haven't killed anybody. I don't yell and scream at my neighbors. I'm a pretty nice guy. There's a problem when you're a pretty nice guy. There's one thing to say, have somebody else tell you you're a nice guy. It's another thing for you to look in the mirror and say you're a nice guy. Okay? It doesn't mean you shouldn't acknowledge if you're nice. It just means that you need to really keep your eye on what's going on in your heart. Okay? Do you have sorrow for sin? Okay? When you have sorrow for sin, that means somebody is speaking to you about your sin, convicting you of sin. Who is? It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, he speaks to you. Now, this is a little picture I kind of like. I'm not sure if the angels have those little rings around their, instead of around the collar, they've got them around their head. But this is a picture that, even though, you know, does the devil come in a red suit? Does he have a pitchfork? But God's voice is what? It's a still, small voice. And when people are sitting on their bed, you know, some people who really don't want to hear the Holy Spirit speak, when I was a kid, we'd crank the radio up so the whole house could shake. And the more it shook, the more we were distracted, the better we were off because we didn't have to hear that little voice saying, you've been a fruitcake. But once everything's turned off and it's quiet, that's when the Holy Spirit starts to be heard. When nothing's happening. Some people hate to have nothing happening, and part of the reason is because that's when they can hear the Holy Spirit, and they're not sure if they like it. But when we are still and quiet, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a still, small voice. Okay? My wife has a little saying. She says, if you are not still enough and you don't listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks with a still, small voice, he might have to resort to the brick method. You know what the brick method is? Brick methods are for blockheads. A few more blocks to go with their bricks, okay? But God generally speaks in a still small voice. Now, he speaks louder sometimes because he's not interested in any should perish, right? He wants all of us to hear him. So sometimes when we're really getting deaf or we're plugging our ears, he does speak louder for our sake, okay? And this is understanding how the Spirit speaks. So the Spirit speaks, one place the Spirit speaks is at church. Speaks through the preacher. Unless, of course, the preacher's not preaching anything worth listening to. And you can tell a good sermon is by if the preacher is using the Scripture. And if you go home and you feel like, my conscience is bothering me about something. See, a good sermon will really prick your conscience. Isn't that what happened with the disciples? Remember on the road to Emmaus? When they were done, their conscience was being pricked. See, so that's a sign of a good sermon. Okay? But the Spirit speaks at church. The Spirit speaks in other places. When we read the Bible, the Spirit speaks. As a matter of fact, the closer we come to Jesus, the more what happens? The more sinful we see yourself. Now, why is that? Why do you seem more sinful the closer you come to Jesus? Because of the contrast. When we don't see any problem, we've not been seeing Jesus at all. Because the more I see Jesus, the more I say, whoa, I got a long ways to go to be like him. And the better I see him, I say, wow, I really got a long ways. And so the closer we come to Jesus or to listening to the Holy Spirit, the more sinful we see ourselves. So if you as a Christian feel like you're not good enough, that means you're close to Jesus. And if you really feel like you're not good enough, that means you're even closer to Jesus. So don't get the signal wrong. When you say, I'm not a very good Christian, that's a good sign, not a bad sign. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're just acknowledging the truth. Okay? So the closer we come to Jesus, the more we listen to the Holy Spirit, the more sinful we'll see ourselves, because our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And the clearer that is in our eyes, the better off we are. As a matter of fact, the greatest prophets in the Scriptures were the most humble. And they said, we're not worthy. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, it says, here is a trustworthy saying. This is Paul speaking. He wrote more than half of the New Testament, okay? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul had the right perspective. So if I can pray that prayer and say, thank God Jesus came to save sinners, and I'm number one, we're going in the right direction. You don't have to worry about committing the unpardonable sin if you realize where you're at, and it's clear. I mean, there's a lot of texts like that. 1 Timothy, for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, not an okay guy, not a great missionary, but the worst of sinners. See, he saw where he was. That means he was close to Jesus, okay? The worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display, in other words, he saves the worst of sinners, and Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him. So if you feel unworthy, be thankful, because God saves unworthy people. This is good news. This is the good news. This is the gospel, that Jesus saves I'm trying to think of the right word. The low down. The losers. The ones who are not very good at this Christian thing. Okay? So don't feel bad about it. Feel delighted. These texts apply to you. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Does anybody have sins that look like scarlet? What does it say? They shall be as white as snow. You guys don't get to see these beautiful pictures around here very often. See, you guys are missing things. We need like 3 foot of snow so we can know what that snowstorm looks like. I won't pray for 3 foot of snow this winter. But it is pretty. It is pretty. Actually, this is a picture from British Columbia. I like British Columbia. It's got a lot of pretty places. But it says your sins will be as white as snow. Not because you're good enough, because your righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. But Jesus is good enough. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Now, you guys have seen wool before they color it. It's white. It's white. But these are the texts for people who don't feel good enough. And this is the bottom line, okay? So John 16:13, when that's the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he will guide you into what? All truth. What kind of truth does he guide you into? There's a number of different truths, but the Spirit teaches you about yourself. He shows you that you're not worthy. And then he shows you the Scriptures, and he says, Jesus saves unworthy people just like you. Okay? He shows you that you're unworthy, and then he shows you the truth about God, that God loves unworthy folk. God's not up there waiting for you to slip so he can step on you like a mosquito. I mean, you can't imagine. Sometimes people tell me, well, God hates me. I said, what do you mean God hates you? Well, if you knew me, you would hate me too. I said, no, you hate you. God doesn't. God loves you. God hates, what does God hate? Somebody told me God doesn't hate anything. I said, oh yeah. God hates sin, and he does what to the sinner? He loves the sinner, okay? The sooner we learn that, the better. So Jesus comes to our door in the form of the Holy Spirit. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what happens? I will come into him. I'll dine with him. I'll hang around with him. I'll go to work with him. I'll come home, wherever you want to go. I'll join you for dinner, breakfast, lunch, everything. If you open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is the key to the Christian walk, okay? But what happens when we do something that's wrong over and over and over, even if we're trying not to, even if we have good motives and we slip? Sin has an effect on our heart. And this is something important to remember. Continual sin does what to the heart? It hardens the heart. Like it or not, you keep doing the same wrong thing over and over, soon you're going to think, well, it's not that bad. This isn't such a big issue. And so you can see the picture here. There, Jesus is banging away. And they're saying, we'll be there in a minute. We're busy doing our thing. Should we answer the door? Well, can't I just enjoy myself for a little bit before he comes in? I mean, he doesn't want to see what I'm watching on the tube. He might not even want to see what's on my table for dinner. Would you be happy to have Jesus spend the day with you? You know, some guy said, well, he wouldn't want to be in my truck when I crank the music up. I mean, you know, we got to kind of get where the rubber meets the road. Why do we not let Jesus in? Why do we not let the Holy Spirit in? See, this is part of how the unpardonable sin works. When we keep God out, the unpardonable sin occurs, not all at once, step by step. It occurs when an individual repeatedly says no to God. Okay? When we say, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, 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 I'm going to do it my way. This is blasphemy. Blasphemy is, I am God, and who do you think you are telling me what to do? I'm going to do it my way. This is what blasphemy is, making myself God, okay? That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So we need to be really thinking about it. Now, my sister, I was brought up in good old Motor City, Detroit, and my sister worked at the, was it the Chevy place? Chrysler, got to get that right. Can't mix those up. She worked at Chrysler. Guess what her job was? 8 hours a day. She got paid way more than all the rest of us. This was in the 70s, I think it was, yeah. It was a long time ago. She got paid quite a bit. She was on the union. She put oil pan plugs in each car as it went by. She had a big 45-gallon drum full of oil pan plugs. Anybody who's done an oil change know what I'm talking about? And she'd pull one out, and she'd turn it in, and zoop, on to the next. 8 hours a day. You guys would like that work? You know why people do it? Because they get paid. But you know what also happens when you work in a factory? How many have ever taken a factory tour, like of the auto plant? Is it noisy? Clanging and banging and cars going around corners and squealing, and to the point where these days you can't even work there unless you've got special earplugs because you'll lose your hearing. This is exactly how it works with the Holy Spirit. If we do not listen to the Holy Spirit the first time, the second time, even though his volume is cranked up, our hearing starts to go. Our Holy Spirit detection center starts going out. And the more noise, the worse it is for our hearing. And we hear this Holy Spirit less and less and less. Every time you say no to the Holy Spirit, it's like losing your hearing at the auto plant. To the point where you come home and you got to yell at your spouse. What? Hey, for some of us, you don't even have to go to the auto plant. We still have to yell at our spouse. But this is how the Holy Spirit works. Little by little, you get deaf and deaf and deafer to the point where the Holy Spirit speaks and you say, did somebody say something? I guess not. I'll go about doing my business. This is how the unpardonable sin works, okay? What is the ultimate point of no return? Yep. When you are done, and there's no more air, that's the point of no return. So we've got to make a decision before that. Can you actually commit the unpardonable sin before you die? Maybe? Yes? No? Is there always an opportunity for forgiveness? I heard that. Somebody said, how about the devil? Is Satan still alive? Has he committed the unpardonable sin? Can he be pardoned? Is God able to pardon Satan? Yes. God can pardon anybody. Does Satan want to be pardoned? He will never want to be pardoned. Because he has said no to God so many times, he won't even change his mind anymore. And this is the kind of thing that happens to us. We follow in his footsteps. So we can commit the unpardonable sin before we're dead. So we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. There's a very simple text, 1 John 1:9. You can reject God all your life, and on your deathbed, don't do this. It's not a good plan. Give him your life when you're young so you can honor him for your life. But for those basket cases, if you've been a fruitcake all your life, and on your deathbed you say, oh Lord, what a fool I've been. Can you forgive me? What does the Bible say? If you confess your sins, what? He is faithful, even if it's on your deathbed, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do it even on your deathbed. It's not his plan. His plan would be that you were a Christian all your life. Or at least when you were young, you gave your heart to him. But he loves you enough to give you an opportunity. And you know something, when somebody's on their deathbed and they say, oh God, I've been a real fruitcake, what does that mean? The Holy Spirit's speaking, and this person is what? They're listening. Okay? So they haven't completely dumped the Holy Spirit. They've just been resisting for a long time. We need to be careful. You know, when Jesus comes, you know there's going to be two groups of people. One group that have asked Jesus to forgive their sins, and another group that have committed the unpardonable sin. Okay? So the question is, which sin is the unpardonable sin? Can you guys see that? Hope our speaker's not in the way. Or this speaker. The only sin Jesus cannot forgive is what? Is an unconfessed sin. It's simple. So it could be anything. It could be murder. It could be wearing a purple tie if God tells you not to wear a purple tie. Sorry about that. All those wearing purple ties. I see a purple tie. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't have a purple tie. Well, I do have a little purple in there. Anyways, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be something extremely small, and other people say, well, that's not an issue. But if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and convicting you that this is an issue for you, and you say, I'm just going to skip it, and I'm going to do it and not worry about it, that is an unconfessed sin, okay? So you need to search your heart and say, Lord, send your Holy Spirit into my heart and clarify, make it extremely clear what in my life is not in line with your word. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to pray that prayer? Not everybody is, okay? Jesus is open to all of us. He loves us. He's not willing that any should perish. Can you see that? John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. So if you come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. See, all these sins we need to remember. We need to, we need to remember that Jesus forgives sin, no matter how bad it is. So then the unpardonable sin doesn't become so daunting. Because you say, well, the unpardonable sin's simple. If I just ask Jesus to forgive with all my heart, not just do it, not just say the words, but if I ask Jesus to forgive with all my heart and say, Lord, please don't only forgive, but please help me not to do it anymore, God will forgive. So how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the only way you're going to not be committing the unpardonable sin. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing to do is to ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, do you guys give good gifts unto your children? Even when you're not really nice? Do you even, some parents, there's a few parents that don't care about their kids. I mean, you got to go a long ways to do that. But even those who are evil, they want to be nice to their kids. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? So if you want the Holy Spirit, just ask. Lord, please give me your Holy Spirit. It's actually quite simple. So these are kind of A, B, C, D. The second thing, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, be willing to do what he tells you. Say, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me. I'll stand on my head. I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, I don't even say crazy things like standing on your head, but the Holy Spirit might not get you to stand on your head, but he might have you do something you think is really crazy, or other people will think is crazy. Are you willing to do anything he tells you? Be willing to obey. There's actually a text that goes with that. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses to those things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who do what? So God will give the Holy Spirit to those who are willing to do whatever he says, those who are willing to obey him. It's very simple. It's very simple. Ask, be willing to obey, and then you confess your sins. We've already talked about that, confessing your sins. Once you realize what's going on, once you realize the things that maybe you didn't think were a problem, now the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And if you have a lifetime where you're saying, you know, this used to not be a problem, but now the Holy Spirit's speaking and it is a problem. Be thankful. You know what that means? You have a larger portion of the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you on things he didn't convict you on before. So if we confess our sins, you got to memorize this one. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, I wanted to repeat that. D, your daily experience. What happens when the Holy Spirit's in your life on a daily schedule? Okay? What happens when the Holy Spirit is in you all the time? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What kind of power? What is this referring to? Power in your life to be a different person. Power in your life to not be so irritable. Power in your life to be a better spouse, to be a better parent. Power in your life to listen carefully to the Holy Spirit. Power in your life to open the Bible. Continues on, there's another text here, 1 John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? See, you need power in order to be a child of God. Without his power, how much can we do? Nothing. You stay a son of the devil. Unless you ask Jesus to come into your heart and say, Lord, this is the ABC, ABCD, okay? He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that what's happening in your life? This is what happens every day, okay? The greatest evidence that we are filled with the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Are we becoming different people? You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Fruit of the Spirit is love. You got it. If you guys got this memorized, it actually helps. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Okay, so you find all of a sudden you're starting to love that person that you just, I hate that person. But now you start loving people that are really gross. People that you didn't like at all. People that you didn't want to tolerate. All of a sudden you have some compassion for them. You say, what's wrong with me? I know what's wrong with you. The Holy Spirit's been working in your heart. Now you got joy when you used to be miserable and complain about everything. Now you've got peace when you used to not have any peace. Patience. Anybody need a bigger dose of patience? This is the Holy Spirit working. He gives you patience when you had no patience. Gentleness. I always talk about the gentleness because I don't feel very gentle. But when I meet gentle folk, I wish I can have more gentleness. Be kind and gentle with other people. Sometimes I get a little rough and gruff, but God can give us gentleness. Goodness, you know what goodness is? That means you're honest when you do business. When somebody comes to your store, if you own one, you don't want to get the best deal. You're willing to give them a better deal than you get. You're willing to give somebody else the blessing rather than take it for yourself all the time. That's a good person, okay? You know, faith, having strong faith, meekness, not thinking you're better than everybody else, self-control, that has to do with a lot of areas in our lives, okay? This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, ask, God promises to give you the Holy Spirit. Be willing to do whatever he says, anything. That's an important part of it. Confess your sins, and your daily walk should be with that Holy Spirit working in your life, and you should be able to see signs that God is changing you. Other people should come and say, Dean, you haven't been as nasty as you usually are. Is everything okay? But this is really it. So ABC, this is not the ABCs, this is the ABCDs of receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is important, understanding the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to have a heart that deeply loves Jesus. Do you deeply love Jesus? I meet people who say, well, I don't even know who he is. I'm not even sure. I've come to church all my life, but how do I love him? I don't even know. I can't see him. I can't hear him. How do I love God when I can't? How do you love God when you can't see him or hear him? You obey, but you know how you love God when you can't see him and hear him? You read his word, and then you can see him and hear him by those pictures, by those stories. You say, Jesus loved the woman at the well. I can too. I'm the woman at the well. He can love me. So this is how you fall in love with a God that you can't see or hear. Two, have a mind filled with his words. Read his word. And have a determination to follow the truth. These are pretty simple. Okay, and this somebody was mentioning to me, Bob. What is the key here for your whole Christian walk? Complete surrender. Complete surrender to everything God tells you to do. Okay? While you're waiting for Jesus to come. Complete surrender while you're waiting for Jesus to come. Now, we're going to have a few responses. These aren't questions. These are responses. So, the response is, the message was clear. Do I understand what the unpardonable sin is now? Have I committed it? Okay. B, I realize I need to confess and forsake my sins. How often? Every day. Maybe 10 times a day. What did Paul say? I die how often? Daily. Okay? That's because we have a sinful nature. And if I don't do anything, my sinful nature takes over. And I got to live with myself. And that's not pleasant. Just live with somebody who has an uncontrolled, selfish, sinful nature, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm my own worst enemy. See, I'm willing to obey the Holy Spirit in every area of my life. And D, I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, these are the questions. How loud does the Holy Spirit speak? Generally, I mean, he could speak loud if he wants to. He uses the brick method for some of us. But generally, he speaks quiet. So we've got to listen carefully to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. 2, what is the only sin that cannot be forgiven? What kind of sin can't be forgiven? What's that? The sin that we don't confess. Every kind of, didn't it say that in the Bible? Every sin can be forgiven. The only one that can't be forgiven is the one that we will not confess. Okay? 3, how do we see ourselves when we come close to God? We see filthy what? Rags. We see filthy rags. And when the Holy Spirit comes and puts Jesus' righteousness on us in place of the filthy rags, we say, but Jesus, I'm not worthy. He says, that's fine. I love covering unworthy folks with my righteousness. That's how we get to heaven. So how do we see ourselves when we come close to God? We see what the Holy Spirit sees, what God sees. We see we need help. 4, what does continual sin do to the heart? It hardens the heart. You know, there are times when I would do things as a young man when I first became a Christian. You know, I read the little Bible text that said, if your right hand offends you, what are you supposed to do? I remember, this sounds a little morbid, but I remember thinking, well, maybe I should, ouch. I was serious. I thought, maybe I should do this literally, because my hand keeps messing me up. But that's not what God wants, because you can cut your right hand off, you can pull your eye out, and still have your brain full of garbage. What he wants is a spiritual slice. He wants you to cut things off spiritually from the garbage in your life. That's what he's looking for. 5, list 2 steps of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What's one of list some of those steps. What should we do? How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm sorry?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible, okay. Ask. Be willing to what? Be willing to obey. Any others? Confess. That's right. Ask God to work in your life daily so you can live like him. Yeah, it's very simple. It's so simple. No, there's a little saying in there. The subtle serpent makes simplicity complex. It's very simple. How to be forgiven. All you have to do is let the Holy Spirit guide you in your life and follow his leading. Surrender. Even surrender cannot be done without God working in your life. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would be in the hearts of each one of us. Lord, we ask that you give us your Holy Spirit. Help us to listen to what he tells us. Help us to read your word, because that's where he speaks. Help us to come to church, because he speaks through the preacher. Speaks through your word. Speaks through other people. I just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak in our lives and change us. And Lord, when that day comes, help us to be able to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not because we've been good or faithful, but because you have been able to work in our lives and you have been able to do great things through the power that you've promised to give us. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.